Broadcast Studios. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
ABQ Connect is presented by Bosky Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, Roofing, and Restoration. For service, call 444-7200. Bosky Heating and Cooling, locally grown, locally owned. And welcome to ABQ Connect. We thank you for joining us. We have our friend Brian Cochran. He is a certified financial planner with John Moore Associates, giving us our weekly update. Hello, Brian.
Hey, Jim. How's your week been, sir?
It's been good, and I understand you're going to be with us the whole hour next Friday, right?
That's the plan.
Yeah. Well, I really enjoy these, Brian, because you're always the voice of calm when we have these ups and downs, and spreading out your visits here 4 weeks at a time, kind of people start getting nervous in between the times you've been able to share with us. So I thank you for taking this time. Brian, I'm going to mention three or four things that I saw in the news, and then I'm handing the ball to you because you've indicated to me that they all have something to do with one another. This morning, the S&P, I guess, is coming very close to its all-time high. Maybe it's already there. I didn't see what was happening since earlier this morning. And then I was kind of confused because I saw CNBC reporting that New Zealand is considering negative interest rates. I have no idea what a negative interest rate is. So what is happening in the United States economically? Are we doing okay compared to the rest of the world? And tell us what these other news items mean.
Yeah, so certainly we are still going through a tough period economically, but the U.S. is doing better than most other developed countries, and we're also doing better than we expected to be at this point. So one thing to keep in mind is when you look at how the stock market responds to economic data, it's not looking so much at the absolute number. Is it a good number? Is it a bad number? The market really looks at, is this data that's coming through, is it better than expected or worse than expected? And what we've seen since COVID has passed through, and we're continuing to deal with that challenge, but many of the economic data points are continually coming in better than expected. Or maybe in many cases you could say they're less bad. Mm-hmm. So it's not that the numbers are good, but we were expecting much worse.
And as a result, the markets have continued to climb. You're in positive territory pretty significantly for the year, right?
Correct, correct. So depending on the different indexes you're looking at, you could be anywhere from plus 3 or 4% to as high as 20%, depending on what type of investments you're talking about. So it's been a surprisingly quick recovery. We were probably more optimistic than most from our firm's perspective when we were going through the worst of COVID. But even this quick rebound has exceeded our expectations.
Mm. Brian, tell us about or answer the question for me. What is a negative interest rate and why is New Zealand considering offering those?
Yeah. So New Zealand certainly is not the first to consider using negative interest rates as a tool. So I think the first thing to discuss is why are people considering negative interest rates? And negative interest rates are a policy that central banks will put in place when they see struggling economic growth and they want to stimulate spending and economic activity. Sweden was one of the first to do this a few years ago, but now you see negative interest rates in developed countries like Germany and the UK. On the short-term rates, France has negative interest rates. And what this means is if I was to buy a bond in some of these countries, which is really offering a loan, I'm actually going to get back less money than I lend. So it seems very counterintuitive. Mm. But the root of it is what they're trying to do is force people to use their money, to go out and spend money, rather than to hoard it and hold it in bank accounts or in more conservative instruments. So it's pushing the consumer and the investor to move their money throughout the system rather than to hold it out of fear. And right now, the jury's still out on whether or not this is truly working because many European countries have been doing this for a few years, and they are still lagging the U.S. when it comes to economic growth.
Yeah, it seems more than counterintuitive to me. I mean, I don't know how you motivate somebody to, I guess you don't save money. And that's what the idea is. You're trying to get people to spend money. And What does it do to their currency when you do that type of thing?
The concern is that a lot of times the way they do this from the central banks, so I say central banks, for the U.S. that means the Federal Reserve. For Europe, it's the European Central Bank or ECB. You'll see it mentioned in the news. One of the challenges they worry about is one of the ways they create these negative interest rates is by creating more currency, creating more dollars basically, and then buying up bonds and pricing the bonds such that the interest rates go negative. So people worry that there's more cash in the system. So some people worry about inflation from all of this, but really what the goal is here is actually to create some inflation. The concern when you have negative rates is you're trying to fight the potential deflation that can come when people are not willing to spend. So interest rates drop to zero or to negative as a way to stimulate the economy and fight the type of deflation that we saw, 20, 30 years ago in Japan when their economy started to spiral.
Yeah.
The hard thing for Europe and where they're facing similar challenges to Japan is that some of their issues are very broad-based systemic issues with things like having an aging population and a shrinking population. So they have a decrease in demand, not necessarily because people don't want to spend, but maybe there's just less people who are of an age where they're out there spending and living their lives, traveling, doing all the things economically that maybe a young family would do, because their populations are growing older and shrinking.
Brian, I don't know if you saw this in the news, but I also saw a post this morning where Minneapolis Fed President Neel Kashkari is advocating a full economic shutdown for up to 6 weeks. And I always find this interesting, and the purpose of that is to halt the COVID-19 spread. Well, one, I don't think you can halt the COVID-19 spread. And I'm just still concerned that there are major players in the economy that are still making statements like this without, I guess, any data. You've already mentioned that the markets have reacted positively because the number of deaths predicted was nowhere near what it was anticipated to be, and the markets have reacted favorably as a result.
Yeah. And what I get concerned about there is this was the concern when they first shut down. A lot of people said the negative of the shutdown is not just that the short-term economic impact will be really harmful, but also that this creates a precedent when anything goes bad, we're just going to shut the economy down. And it's the problem there is you have to look at total harm. Everyone's so focused on the virus, but they forget to look at what are the implications of shutting the economy down. So you're trying to save people from the virus, which is honorable and a good intent, but what are the other effects? And I think the general population now realizes that some of the trade-offs of shutting down are not acceptable, and they'd rather feel at least some risk of the virus than to see people lose their livelihoods, to see people suffer from depression, to see kids outside of schools. And Sweden has often been pointed to as the example of that, and they were criticized because they did have a pretty big surge of the virus several months ago, but they have seen a steady decline in their death count and their new cases since then without this sort of second rise that other countries have seen when they shut down and they reopen. And at this point, Sweden actually has a lower number of deaths per million than countries like Italy, Spain, or Belgium, the UK. So maybe their system's actually working where they kept their economy somewhat operational and still were able to battle the virus without completely destroying their economy.
Well, I am fascinated with the resiliency of Americans and business people and how they're being innovative and creative to keep their businesses going. And then at the same time, there's been a lot of heartbreaking situations where people have gone out of business. Brian Cochran is a certified financial planner with John Moore Associates. John Moore supports the programming on KNKT. They are a sponsor of our Money Wise program with Compass Ministries. They're actually on the air right before we come on the air here on KNKT. I appreciate you so much, Brian, spending the time with us, and have the best weekend you can have, my friend.
All right. We'll talk again next week, sir.